At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Let's just do this for 15 minutes.
Don't you guys love this? Isn't it so much fun?
It's what they pay for.
People are going to be on this subreddit like, what do we have to do to get them to do that for 2 hours?
Nothing really. I'd do it what more do we do to spite.
Yeah, fair.
Only cost me $30,000 for somebody to shit on my chest.
Yeah. We've learned that. So like.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we have.
Yeah.
Boys, I'll start us out. Jesse.
Any takers? Hit me up.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, you know.
I couldn't be on the podcast with you after that.
I won't tell you
never
that
have
now.
To know.
I'd be like, no, I'm all right. If it happens,
we'll destroy the documents. We'll destroy the documents.
It'll be
we'll
an Alex know. Episode. It'll be the very last Alex episode.
I got.
Let me
shit
tell
on.
You the process.
Or I shit on somebody rather.
Why did you get pink eye that one time? Let's explore.
Well, it was $30,000, and I said, right. You know what? Yeah. Just get it over with. Let's go.
Yeah.
Just do it.
Daddy
please.
Needs his money.
Hey, this was a crazy one for me this week because I went through like an entire journey trying to figure out what article to do. And like two of the things that I found like exploded into full episode topics. Ooh. So I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to do. And then I'm going to tell you like the normal, basic, small mini-sode episode. So
what?
First thing was, you know what Project Sunstreak is? Obviously we've talked about this before.
It doesn't ring a bell.
It's like pretty similar to Gateway tapes or something like that. It's like CRV remote viewing for like tactical purposes. It was like the CIA did it. They have like declassified documents about it. But the reason that I landed on it for today was because somebody located the Ark of the Covenant during their
sick.
And there's
well, of course
there's newly released information about it. But Sunstreak is crazy because the CIA documents about it are like completely in favor of it and talk about how they can't ignore how real it is, which is
they had a statistically successful, like a number of people successful to a statistically significant degree.
They have specific words. Examples. So that's one thing that I'm probably going to go and do as another episode sometime later. So that's not today's minisode. The other minisode today was from the subreddit. Somebody posted that they have this book, and I believe it was the subreddit. It might have been News of the Weird or something like that, or High Strangeness. There's a book from 1922 by somebody called Burke McCarty that is called, and this is like more of a Jesse episode because like the truth of it is kind of like that it's not real, but it's kind of an interesting thing. It's a book from 1922 that was published that's called The Suppressed Truth about the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. It may boggle your mind to find that in the 20s there was like an anti-Catholic sentiment in America.
You don't
the Jesuits.
Say.
Yeah, may boggle your mind. And, you know, the Jesuits, they call them and stuff. And they said that like Abraham Lincoln and the assassination of like several other presidents is part of some big Pius the Ninth, like guided.
The Pope was like, take out Lincoln.
It was like the anti-Calvinist Reformation.
Okay.
Like conspiracy.
Okay.
So that was another thing that I was going to do right now, but that I'm not going to do right now. So that's like another, like a 300 page book. So that's not happening right now. Instead, I want to take you guys to Great Bend, Kansas. Total whiplash, where you've heard this story a million times. The parents aren't home. They get a babysitter to watch their kid. The babysitter, not that interested in the kid as like a kid, you know, not trying to like hang out with the kid that much. I'm not trying to talk shit on the babysitter, but like, you know how it is in a movie. The babysitter goes in the other room and like watches something on TV while the kid goes to sleep, et cetera. They talk on the phone to their boyfriend or whatever, that type of thing. The kid comes out of the room and says, "Hey, there's a monster under my bed." And you say, "Okay, just fucking go to sleep." Then the kid comes out again and goes, "No, seriously, there's a monster under my bed." And so you go, "Okay, just go to bed. Just try not to think about it." Then the third time they go, "Come, there's a monster under my bed." You go, "Okay, fine. Let's go look. Let's go see the monster. Let's go." So she takes the kid and she goes to see the monster and she gets down on her hands and knees to look down under the bed. And there under the bed is a man. And the man used to live in the house. And he sees the two people and he gets up and he pushes them out of the way and runs into the woods. And he went into the forest. He's 27 years old. Apparently there was like some kind of abuse. Like the way that the article says it, it doesn't highlight the fact that they're connected, these two people, because it's a babysitter, right? It's not like the owner of the house, right? But says that this person used to live there but was barred from being there due to a protection from abuse order.
What?
So I don't know if it's like the babysitter got hired and the client's ex-boyfriend came over or something like that. But it was between this one or the one where a guy in England turned on his oven for tea and smelled something crazy inside and opened it and there was two duck legs in there. A duck breast and duck leg cooking on the bottom of his oven. Not on okay. a pan, not nothing.
Silver sourceful.
And he didn't know. He's a vegan. He has no idea how these duck legs could have gotten in here. And then he threw them away. And the next morning when he went out to the bins, they were gone.
What?
So, yeah, that's another little mini-sode for you guys.
Yeah, okay.
But the one that I think was really crazy was this one that happened in Kansas where this lady went and checked on a monster under the bed and it turned out to be a dude.
Yeah, that sucks. That would be the worst. I'd rather have a monster than some stranger under the bed, honestly.
Yeah, that was a crazy one. Let's put it that way. That was a crazy one.
Let me take it from here.
Okay.
Jesse, magnetricity is real.
I mean, okay, yeah.
He was like, I know, I made it up last week.
Fake that
this
whole
comes
thing.
From an article.
Gotcha.
This comes from an article yesterday. Okay. A trio of U.S. researchers claim to have successfully tested predictions that it's possible to harvest clean energy from the natural rhythms and processes of our planet generating electricity as Earth rotates through its own magnetic field. Though the voltage they produced was tiny, the possibility could give rise to a new way to generate electricity from our planet's dynamics alongside tidal, solar, wind, and geothermal power production. Now, initially in 2016, Princeton astrophysicist Christopher Chiba and JPL planetary scientist Kevin Hand challenged their own proof that such a feat ought to be impossible. The researchers have now uncovered empirical evidence that their proof-breaking idea may actually work as long as the shape and properties of the conducting material in their method are set to very specific requirements. Quote, this small demonstration system generates a continuous DC voltage and current of the low predicted magnitude, the researchers write in their recent paper. In the early 20th century, American physicist Samuel Bartnett resolved a nagging question over the non-rotation of a magnetic field with the respect to its moving electromagnet.
That's literally what that was talking about.
How did this happen? Right after we did the
synchronicity, no baby,
this is wild.
And I'm gonna send you a picture of the diagram they use, and it's very similar to a lot of the
almost exact same thing.
It's hard to say if it's exact same, but it looks a lot. I mean, it looks very similar to a lot of them.
Roughly, like it's the same process. I guess it's the idea of trying to figure out how we get there.
There you go. This is a diagram they use that I can't really fully.
I mean, yeah. If what I'm looking at is them separating,
that's what it looks
this,
like.
Trying to get this gyat,
gyat.
Dude, like, so. I don't understand anything I'm looking at. This looks like the Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, but I'm, like, with you there, dude.
Yeah. They said while the And there, the, while the proposed difference in velocity between the field and its magnet ought to allow for a voltage to form, proof such as the one Chiba and Han spelled out in their 2016 paper showed it wasn't possible. The reason was simple. Any electrons pushed by Earth's magnetic field would quickly rearrange themselves and cancel out any difference in charge. There were some assumptions at work, however, which together with spectral sensor solutions scientist Thomas Chiba, the scientists set out to challenge a rather specific set of circumstances. To test them, the team used a 29.9 centimeter, which is almost 1 foot long, hollow cylinder made from manganese zinc ferrite, a material chosen to encourage magnetic diffusion where magnetic fields are less tightly constrained. The cylinder was placed in a pitch black windowless laboratory to minimize photoelectric interference and angled in such a way as to make it perpendicular to both Earth rotation and magnetic field. After all was measured and accounted for, a voltage of 18 microvolts remained. This small potential disappeared when different cylinders were used, or the same cylinder was set at a different angle, suggesting it's being generated by the Earth's rotation. Quote, the device appeared to violate the conclusion that any conductor at rest with respect to Earth's surface cannot generate power from its magnetic field. The researchers observed the same response from the material in a second location, this time in a residential building rather than a laboratory. They say it's exciting and promising research, but they don't want to get carried away at the early stage. Both papers from 2016 and now 2025 talk about how it might be scaled up, but none of that has been demonstrated and might well prove not to be possible. And in any case, the first thing that needs to happen is that some independent group needs to reproduce or rebut our results with a system closely similar to our own. Hmm. And that's where they end it. And it, to me, it's like, that's exactly what the dude was talking about in your episode in a weird way.
It's like, again, I don't know that the way I think about it, when I think about the dude and the Coral Castle, is I feel like he was more akin to Gene Roddenberry making shit up that then was like, oh no, we can actually do that. Like, he had an idea for a thing that just turned out to be real. Because I can't believe that man was levitating, like, with his mind. I can't believe it.
I don't know if he's levitating with his mind, but he was maybe maneuvering magnetic fields in a way that he was, like,
But the fact that more and more we're seeing, like, actually, it is a thing, almost makes me be like, what was that dude on to?
What was he doing? Who told him about that? Where did he find that out?
What if we learned that, like, the ancient Egyptians didn't have, like, higher tech, but they understood how to manipulate Earth's magnetic field in a weird way?
I mean, admittedly, the ancient Egyptians, cool again, for everyone who forgets, they were ancient to even the Romans. So they're so old. Who knows what the hell they were doing? Like, who knows? That's crazy to me that, like, I don't know, man.
This article popped up yesterday. I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
What
we
timing?
We just covered something
That's
like
crazy.
This. Wild synchronicities. Damn. Jesse, take
well.
Insane.
Let's stick with science because this is really neat and I kind of love this. So the British Antarctic Survey is doing their thing in the Antarctic. It's the Natural Environment Research Council. They have a whole ass website. You can go. It's bas.ac.uk if you want to go check them out. Anyway, on March 13th, they released a press release about something they had done using the BedMap 3, which is the third version of the BedMap system. And the whole thing is it's bed topography for Antarctica. And they're trying to figure out, one, how much ice is actually there, and two, what is under that ice? And so, using all of the BedMap's tech, they've discovered a bunch of cool things. I'm just going to rattle off some numbers. I love this. The total volume of Antarctic ice, including its ice shelves, is 27.17 million cubic kilometers. The total area of Antarctic ice, including those shelves, is 13.63 million square kilometers. And the thickness, on average, is about 1,940 meters. If all of that melted, the sea level would rise by 58 meters, which would not be great for any of us. But the most interesting thing is first off, they say, in general, it's become clear the Antarctic ice sheet is thicker than we originally realized, and larger volume of ice is grounded into the bedrock sitting below sea level. This puts the ice at greater risk of melting due to the incursion of warm water that's occurring at the fringes of the continent. What BedMap 3 is showing us is that we've got slightly more vulnerable Antarctic than we previously thought, which is terrifying. Don't like that at all. But the interesting thing is that using this mapping technology, they've given us the most complete, accurate map of Antarctica under the ice. What it looks like should all the ice be gone. And it is the most Final Fantasy world I've ever seen in my entire life. Look at this thing. It is so cool looking. They have the sea level, the height, all of it. It's dope.
What in the heck is this? This literally looks like...
Oh my God, yeah. It's like a separate world.
Yeah, it literally looks like, what's it called? Mathis's fucking favorite books. The world outside the ice wall.
Oh, the world, the lands beyond the ice walls. Yeah.
It is very cool looking. It looks... Again, if you played Final Fantasy VII, it almost looks like that, which is wild to me.
It looks like Gaia, yeah.
And you can see that underneath there's so much stuff. And the thing they're interested in is that in there, in all of that, is millions of years of fossil records and untouched stuff. Ooh. Who knows what's down there? And so it's a fascinating thing. Like, there literally is a world locked away from us. So even though, hilariously, the goof of an ice wall is like, there's a world out there. In reality, there is a legitimate world under past the ice that there's just stuff there. And we don't know what's under there. It's probably all skeletons and shit, but like, it's aliens. Fascinating. And they're like, wow, there's actually some really cool stuff that we did not know. And it's the most accurate hyper scan ever of Antarctica. And I love it. I think it's really neat.
That's sick. It is like a fantasy map. You could use it.
That's what I'm saying. It looks like
campaign.
A full on.
Literally, it looks like.
Fantasy map.
It looks like in Primal Rage when all the continents were like a dinosaur shooting a fireball out of its mouth. It looks like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was neat and I wanted to share.
Yep. Fantastic. Well, thank you all so much for supporting us here at patreon.com/IlluminatiPod. We'll be back next week with another mini-sode. We appreciate you. We love you. Go buy our plushie. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.